Hello and welcome or welcome back to Treaties and Trials. My name is Ruby and today's the 10th episode of the podcast. It's been a while since we talked about the United Nations on Treaties and Trials, so if that is something you missed, today we are talking about veto power in the Security Council. If you don't already know what the Security Council is, it is basically an organ or subsection of the UN that settles disputes between nations and enforces peace. The Security Council consists of 15 members, 5 permanent and 10 non-permanent, the 5 permanent members being China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And they are who we will be talking about today because they hold veto power. So if any of that interests you, let's get on with the rest of the episode. From the founding of the United Nations in 1945 up until now, when this episode is being recorded in October of 2025, there have been 264 uses of the veto power. Of the 5 permanent members, Russia has exerted the use of veto the most amount of times, 121 times to be exact. So why would a permanent member want to use their veto power? Usually it has been used to protect their own interests along with their allies' interests, and also for political advances. In the case of Russia, veto has been used mainly for issues pertaining to the Syrian conflict. Meanwhile, the United States has had several vetoes relating to Israel and conflicts in the Middle East. Very recently, actually, on September 18th, last month, the US vetoed a Gaza ceasefire resolution at the Security Council. I watched through the delegate's speech, and I also recommend you watch it as well. It gives a good look at how the Security Council works, how delegates bring up their viewpoints in the UN, and it shows how a resolution can be rejected if just one permanent member has a negative vote. There were 14 votes in favor of the ceasefire resolution, no abstentions, but just one vote against the draft resolution, just one negative vote by the United States. And this singular vote alone was enough to rule out the draft resolution's adoption simply because the US is a permanent member of the Security Council. Now, because this episode is being recorded late, a few days ago a ceasefire agreement actually was signed. So despite the veto, eventually hostages were released and the agreement was signed. But focusing on the veto itself, the main point to take away is that it was used and is constantly being used. Obviously, because of this, and because of similar veto uses in the past, there are lots of people who are upset, and people who believe veto power is wrong. There have been lots of arguments online as to why this is wrong, which I'll go into in just a minute, but first I want to talk about the argument in favor of veto power. It isn't something very commonly voiced, and I haven't really seen many explicitly defending veto, but I want to bring it up anyway because it is important to look at both sides. A possible benefit of veto is that it brings stability to the Security Council, because by making sure these 5 really powerful countries are in agreement on a resolution ensures that there aren't unnecessary conflict created. Veto power also means that there needs to be a consensus agreement on a resolution, which can make sure a wide range of concerns, aka the 5 permanent members' concerns, are being pointed out before action pertaining to the resolution is fully committed to. However, and now I am going to start going into the drawbacks, the use of veto, as worded in an analysis by Jihei Park in the World Politics Data Lab, has consistently gone in the way of humanitarian assistance to those who need it the most. If these 5 countries are given the power to defend their own interests, obviously they're going to use it. And in turn, countries facing crises can be negatively impacted if they have conflicting interests with one of the 5 permanent members of the Security Council. So yes, the whole system of the Security Council has been largely criticized, and a lot of people argue the veto power should be removed. What do you think? Is veto power good? Should it be completely destroyed? If it were to be completely removed, how would it change the outcomes of the Security Council? Clearly, there are a lot of questions to be asked. The veto power has been a hot topic for a long time, being considered as a shield for the interests of 5 very specific world powers: China, France, Russia, the UK, and the United States. With conflicts comes allies and the need to defend your allies. And for the 5 permanent members of the Security Council, that can come in the form of a simple negative vote against a draft resolution. Lots of people have voiced their concerns online, saying that veto power should just be completely removed. But if the veto power is removed, what would happen next? How would the Security Council function? I leave you to answer that question. Feel free to research more on the topic of veto on your own. It's very interesting and there's a lot to learn. And if you're enjoying these episodes, be sure to tune in for the next one where we'll be going over a new topic that is just as interesting. As always, follow Treaties and Trials on Instagram and check out the website for more content. With that being said, I'm Ruby and I'll see you soon. Bye!